Hour number two, kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Another plug for the golf tournaments. Signed a team up yesterday, though, so we keep pushing and we're getting closer and closer to full. Got the door prizes bought. So we're giving away, a 55-inch 4K TV. What is it, a Blackstone grill? Those are awesome.
Elite.
I've heard really good things about those. I'm not really a cook or griller, but I've heard good things.
Yeah, like I've a friend, you know, like he'll, you know, they'll on the weekends, you know, you can do your breakfast on there everything else. I mean, it's, that's legit.
And a $250 gift card to Best Buy. We've got three nice gifts we're giving away. One's just going to be luck, door prize, rip up your ticket, bada boom, bada bing. Another is going to be a closest to the pin competition, and another will be a putting competition. So you can win some of those things through skill and determination or just simply by luck. Sign up for the Fan Run Open by going to fanrunradio.com/shop. You can get your details there and sign up either as an individual or as a team. Just a couple days away. I'm getting excited for it, but a little nervous and stressed as well.
Let's knock on wood. The weather is still looking pretty good. It might be actually the perfect combination where it's a teeny bit brisk in the morning when they start, 9 o'clock. High that day is about 70. Pretty low chance of rain, so that'd be good.
Okay.
Not too hot, not too cold. Could be good.
All right, let's hit some things we missed from the night before. Sam, what do you got?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have some NBA news. Blake Griffin announced his retirement from the NBA yesterday. 14 years. RIP to Blake. One of the great dunkers of our generation, I guess. Selected first overall from the Clippers out of Oklahoma back in 2009. Obviously is famous for his high-flying dunks and things like that kind of earlier in his career. He's taken quite the fall off ever since. But Blake Griffin, a funny guy, a fan favorite. But he will hang up the
You're about
old
to say cleats. He doesn't wear cleats.
Hang up the old basketball shoes after 14 years.
Was he on a roster this season or no?
I don't think so.
No, he was in Boston at the end of last year, and they talked about how Boston, the players basically begged him to come back because he's a good hang, I guess.
Yeah, fun guy.
And they're like, hey, we just want you to kind of have this last roster spot, and you could be on the team. And he's like, nah, I don't feel like it. And I guess he made official, like, hey, I'm just retiring, and I'm done. And I imagine he'll pursue some things in entertainment. You keep calling him a great dunker, and he was, but I think you're underselling just how good he actually was in his peak. The dunking thing is what stands out. But, like, before that last kind of injury in 2014 that really, like, kind of changed things for him, he finished third in MVP voting that year. Like, he was a beast. Came back the next year, made All-NBA third team. And then his career kind of you know, went downhill. And the whole Clippers to Detroit thing, it didn't work out. But he was really good at his peak. And one of the best college players I've ever seen. His college numbers – I don't think get talked about enough. He was awesome there.
I always you talk about like how Russell Westbrook I would always term he would play angry. I felt like Griffin did that, but almost at a different level because of his size and everything else. And I mean, some of his, you know, again, the dunks and just some of his moves to the basket were so like vicious and high energy and just like. I've lost count of how many times watching his highlights where I'd be like, whoa, man, that dude, at his peak, he was special for sure.
I like Blake.
Felt like his kind of like body type and stuff like that was a little bit of a transformational era in like the positions of basketball.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, he was the three-point shooting wasn't necessarily there, but like the really athletic big, the stretch four type of thing, or the four that could get out and make, you know, create plays was kind of a throwback to – Charles Barkley, really.
Yeah.
One of the best tweets of all time, too. with the Casey Anthony squirrel tweets. It's like, I just ran over a squirrel and I feel awful. How do you live with yourself, Casey Anthony? Or something like that.
Do you ever hear, like, there was a back and forth that was going on with him and Nikki Glaser, too?
I don't remember that one.
Yeah. I don't know if he was maybe trying to hook up or not. But she talked about it in her stand-up routine a lot. But it was good. It was kind of like really – like in a good spirited way. It was, he was fun, like you said. And I'll always remember, I do remember the dunk in the dunk contest over the Kia when he jumped over the car. Yeah, he was fun.
He tried to have that little show, that prank show on True TV that came out a couple years ago, like during the tournament or whatever. I watched it. It didn't make it. It
wasn't good.
It was, I mean, it was fine. It was a prank show. I mean, it was basically them trying to do punked to regular people. That was a problem. It was punked to regular people, not celebrities. It didn't work.
Some more basketball news here as Kawhi Leonard, he secures the final spot on the Team USA Olympic roster. This will be the first time that Kawhi Leonard has represented USA basketball at this level.
So they made official Kawhi as the last roster spot?
Yeah. Yeah, he'll be the number 12 guy on there.
Just in terms of stature in the league, I think that's the right choice whenever you're looking at just like, hey, we're going to put together the best career. We're going to get together a group of people with maybe the best careers. Kawhi at his peak, still a top 7 or 8 player as well. It's just a guy that can't stay healthy in the playoffs, like going to the Olympics. Just, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, if he's going to miss the playoffs with an injury and then play for Team USA like that, that seems strange.
Maybe he can stay healthy for the country.
Well, I'm sure he will be healthy, but just the optics there. If I'm a Clippers fan and I'm Steve Ballmer and I'm giving you all this money, like,
yeah,
can you make it through the playoffs once with us?
Yeah.
Just once?
In the MLB yesterday, the Braves continue to get some tough news. Spencer Strider obviously out for the year with Tommy John, and yesterday Ozzie Albies hits the 10-day IL for a fractured toe. Gonna miss some time there. Just kind of a freak injury, you know, fouls the ball off his, not really fouls it off his foot, it just kind of like skipped off his foot really, and just kind of hit him in the perfect spot, I guess. Snicker came out and said that the good thing is that it's not going to be a surgical thing, so hopefully, you know, it's kind of a quick mend for Albies there. But that's a guy who has struggled to stay healthy in the last couple years. Obviously is a huge bat for the, you know, for the Braves when he is healthy, and a great guy on defense, but some tough news for the Braves continues. But they continue to win without him.
It's a big toe. You ever had a you ever broke a big toe by chance?
I don't think I've ever broken one. No, I've stubbed it before. Like, it's bothered me at times whenever I had a foot thing when I was running, and it just kind of hurt my foot, and my toe was in bad shape there. And it's debilitating.
It is, just because you take for granted how much you do, you know, you plant and everything on the inside of your foot. And because I've had that happen before, and there's not anything, it's just got to heal. You can't, like Ozzie was saying, it can't be really surgically repaired most times. And
yeah.
So that's a little bit of an unknown how long it takes, but it hurts.
In the news of college football, former Oregon State running back Damian Martinez has told On3 that he's locked in 5 visits. Tennessee is one of those. The other schools he will visit: Arizona, Mississippi State, Tennessee on April 21st and the 22nd, and then we'll head to Kentucky and Miami. But this was a pretty big name to enter the portal. Martinez last year had 194 carries for almost 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns. Year before that, had like 160 yards and was just shy of 1,000 yards with 7 touchdowns. So definitely a hot name in the portal. Obviously, Tennessee running back room a little banged up without Cam Seldon. This one seems interesting to me. It feels like you're confident in the guys that you have in Sampson and Seldon and, you know, those young guys behind them, but maybe that Seldon injury is a little more serious than we think.
I don't know why Tennessee's in the mix here, really. Like, it seems like the amount of money you're going to have to spend to get him.
I found it curious, too. I agree.
People are saying, like, Miami, I think, is the team that's going to end up getting him.
That sounds right.
I just don't really know why Tennessee's on the list. I don't.
I think he's a little more of the – I think he's kind of the smash maybe to Samson's dash a little bit.
Yeah, I get it, but, like, just from a roster constructive, when you're looking at – like, yeah, if it was just like, hey, come here and take a scholarship, we got one. Like, that's one thing, but, like, it's not going to be that. It's going to be like, hey, here's a scholarship, and here's also, like, $400,000. Like, it just seems – I don't know. Like, Seems like you're going to be paying two running backs a lot of money. I know it's not the NFL when it comes to, like, salary cap and all that, but, like, seems like, you know, kind of wasting some resources there.
And not for nothing, just what we were talking about last segment, or, yeah, it was last segment. This dude's going to be doing, like, five visits over the next 2 weeks. There's no school happening for this guy. He's just, like, bouncing around the country.
I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know how he's doing it. Like, yeah, he's just taking off the whole semester to go visit. I mean, maybe it's like, is he withdrawn from school, like, for the semester? Can you do that and stay eligible? I don't know.
Maybe school just doesn't matter once your transfer portal goes official or something.
Yeah, I know, but you still have to stay eligible. Like, I don't get it.
Not really big news, but just a funny one here. Last night, obviously, big-time recruit Cormani McClain, he entered the transfer portal from Colorado football. And an interesting new recruiting strategy for Colorado is Shiloh Sanders put on his Instagram story, defense transfers, DM me, and then offense transfers, DM at Shador Sanders.
Don't forget at the bottom, this is not last chance you.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's one way to do it, Dion. I mean, I would say maybe just go in some prospects' homes and recruit high school. Like, maybe just get over that.
You're bigger than your sons.
Yeah, like, get over the whole I don't recruit high school kids thing. Like, you're going to have to. Anybody transferring right now in the spring, probably not going to be very good. Is that fair to say? I mean, like, of the guys that are in the portal right now, is it not mostly because they couldn't win a spot in spring practice as a starter?
Yeah, it's probably either that or you just hate your team.
Yeah, like, you could be like a head case.
I've seen, like the one of the top Penn State receivers entered the portal after Drew Aller just looked terrible in their spring game.
Okay.
Like, I think that is, you know, maybe some.
Yeah, and, like, there will be some exceptions, yeah. But, like,
that's vast majority.
Yeah, sure. The guys who are transferring in the spring, like, if you're Dion's kids, if you're Shiloh, if you're Shador, and you're begging these guys that are transferring right now, I would say, what, 10% of these transfers will be actual impact players? Everyone else I would, you know, view as maybe depth pieces or just head. You're taking another school's head case. Like, what's the 5-star's name that's leaving Colorado? Is it
Cormani McClain?
Yeah, McClain. Like, that guy's talented, but he's a head case. You're just taking somebody else's problem wherever he ends up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Oregon State guy, like, that's a little bit of an extenuating circumstance just because Oregon State's program is literally dead, at least when it comes to Power 5 football. So, like, him leaving, I'll give him a little bit of a pass for that. And, yeah, okay, if Penn State's receiver looked and said, hey, this quarterback sucks, this ain't it, and I'm out, maybe he's good. Yeah, for the vast majority, like, you can't – I don't want to be building my team in the transfer portal. I damn sure don't want to be building my team in the spring transfer portal. Doesn't bode well for Colorado and Dion, I don't think.
His luggage is Louis.
A lot of it's getting returned. A lot of it's getting sent back.
I just hope that we're past the moment. Remember the – just the unbelievable saturation of media coverage that was happening for him the first month of the season. It was ridiculous.
I think you're going to get it again next year, too.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, maybe not to the same level, but, like, yeah, like, Dion's going to move the needle. And I don't, what's their schedule set up like? Do they have, like, a big game to start the year? Because that was kind of a perfect storm last year where they beat a defending playoff team and they beat them by scoring, you know, 50 points and just playing that exciting game. And, you know, of course, that team, TCU, ended up not being very good. So I don't know how, you know, impressive that win, you know, actually was. But, like, they got what? North Dakota State and then Nebraska. Like, that September 7th game against Nebraska will have a lot of coverage there.
Yeah.
Because of Nebraska, Matt Rhule, that brand. But also because of Dion. If they win that one, I think you'll see it just kind of ramp back up.
Well, and to be clear, what I was thinking about too, I agree with you. He's gonna get coverage for sure as a story. But where they were literally, you were having Fox and ESPN. They were doing their pregame shows both there and Boulder, and I mean, all that stuff was just was so overdone. I don't want to see. If I'm gonna watch any of those pregame shows, I don't need to have every single minute of it being about what's going on in Boulder.
Well, yeah, but I mean, when you look at the TV ratings, I mean, the spike was there in terms of Colorado was as powerful as a brand as Alabama for a lot of last year when it came to actual TV viewership. But I think what you're really going to struggle with recreating is like getting celebrities out there. Yeah. Like, I don't think The Rock is going to be stopping by to see Dion again. I don't think like the famous rappers and like all of his Hall of Fame buddies from the NFL are going to be on the sidelines in year two. I think they just wanted to ride the wave. But like, there is a chance. I'm just going to run through their first six games.
Their schedule's cake. I just looked at
it. Yeah, like there's a chance they're like 5-1 after six games and ranked in the top 25. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, he's figured it out. Like there's a chance they might even be 6-0. North Dakota State, at Nebraska, at Colorado State, home against Baylor, at UCF, home against Kansas State. Like there's a chance they're 5-1. Maybe.
I don't know anything about North Dakota State's football team upcoming, but like obviously they're always in the FCS playoffs. That would be hilarious if they lost that first game.
Yeah, North Dakota State might beat them. Like yeah. that seems like a dumb game for Colorado to have on the schedule.
Yeah, I agree.
Unless North Dakota State's like completely falling off. Like I don't know if they have or not, but like I know they used to be good. Yeah. They could also lose that game. They could also lose at Nebraska and lose at Colorado. They could also like be like 2-4 and a train wreck. I don't really know what to expect.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, again, if you look at this, you look at their conference schedule, there's good teams in there, but they're kind of unknown, you know, like Kansas and Oklahoma State. Utah's good, obviously. Texas Tech, not sure what to expect from them. Arizona, not sure what to expect from them. So, K-State's good. It's not a terribly tough schedule. But they also were like, boy, talk about, it felt like they were definitely figured out after about the first month of the season last year. They looked pretty helpless in a lot of games.
Yeah, and then also Deion started firing good coaches and like really making himself a mockery there. But according to 247 and CBS Sports, they have two of the top four players in college football.
Oh, yeah, Travis Hunter and... Well, Shadur, I guess.
Yeah, we'll go through the top 15, I guess, after the break and kind of look at what they rank as the top 15 best players in college football. Spoiler alert, there is a Vol on there. Ranked highly, too.
Absolutely.
Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's gear just...
Talk some college football. 247 Sports, CBS Sports ranked their top 15 best players in college football ahead of the season. It seems crazy to me that their number one is Travis Hunter. Is he the best player in college football?
I just wonder if he's getting a lot of love for the two-way aspect of his game because, and I wonder how long that's if Deion's going to continue doing that. I guess maybe he will, but man, the wear and tear, that's, I know he's young, but that's incredible.
Sam, you're shaking your head. You think he's deserving of being the number one player in college football?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Incredible athlete both ways. Like,
no, he is a beast. I mean,
starter on both ends. I think he could pick and choose which side of the ball he wanted to play and would be elite on either side.
I just can't get that Stanford game out of my head. That Friday night Stanford comeback where the guy that Travis Hunter was guarding had 13 catches for 294 yards and three touchdowns.
I'll never forget that game. Yeah, because I went to bed. It was like, this thing's over at halftime, right? And it just – then I woke up the next morning because I had to get up early. That was why I went to bed. We had to fly out the next morning. We were down in Florida, had an early flight, and I saw the highlights on SportsCenter. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I mean –
yeah, they were up 29-0 at halftime and, lost that game in double overtime. And that was kind of the end of the Colorado, hype train and their coverage.
Right.
Because at the time, they were 4-2. And, that was – they really needed that one to make a bowl game and keep the momentum rolling. And they lost to Stanford. And when you saw what their schedule was upcoming, you knew they were in trouble. But, yeah, I know Travis Hunter's really good at both. Maybe he'd be elite at one if he just picked one. Like, maybe he could be the best receiver in the league, in the country, if he just wanted to play wide receiver all the time. Maybe he could be a top-ranked defensive back if you want to do that all the time. Maybe if you do the combination, yeah, he is the best. But like I said, I couldn't get over the Eric Ayo Manor having 294 yards and three touchdowns, including carrying him a pretty long ways on a 97-yard touchdown. So he gets the number one spot. Number two, though, comes in James Pierce, VFL, ball.
Rakia's got to be happy about that.
Power couple.
Power couple, that for sure.
That's a huge power couple.
You feel that's properly rated? He's definitely a top five talent minimum, but and two might be right. I mean, I know he's a beast as well, but it was good to see somebody ranked that high from our guys.
Well, I mean, just when you look at mock drafts for next year, like, he's always near the top.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of a pro prospect, yeah, like, he is as good as it gets when it comes to that. But also, like, I mean, he was the highest rated edge rusher last year. I mean, he was just a beast. You know, 90s kind of across the board. Like, no, I think he's every bit as good as what people say about him. By the way, I'm looking up these mock drafts for next year, for 2025, and I've stumbled across Walter Football's.
That guy sucks.
Which guy?
Walter Football.
It's not just Walter. There are people that write. There are like multiple people that work for the site. Which,
their site sucks.
They all suck?
I hate their mock drafts.
Okay. Well, you're probably not going to like this one then.
Okay.
Number one overall next year.
Oh, my God.
Shador Sanders to the Titans.
What a moron. What an idiot.
That's from Charlie, whoever the hell Charlie Kemp was. That's from Charlie. But, yeah, I mean, they have Shador as the number one overall pick, which seems kind of crazy, but I don't know. I guess I don't see it with Shador Sanders like that. He is graded as ranked as the fourth best player in this rankings. Is he the best quarterback next year? Is that where we're at?
Shador?
Yeah.
See, I don't think he is, but, I mean, again, talented quarterback, but I'm thinking like Carson Beck, Quinn Ewers. I've got – those are guys that have been doing it at a high level too. I mean, Sanders played against some good teams last year, but I feel like I need to see more.
Dylan Gabriel at Oregon now.
Yeah.
Charlie Campbell is a moron. They have James Pearson as top 16. Like, get the hell out of here. Carson Beck, I mean, was slotted as like a top three pick as well. Like, I don't know if I view him that way either. Like, I don't know, when I'm looking around the college football, you know, landscape for next year, what quarterbacks are the best. Shador is the number one guy on this ranking. You get down, you got Beck, you got Milroe as well. Milroe comes in, I think, at number six, Beck at seven. McMillan, that's the quarterback at Arizona, right?
Fafita, or no, that's
that's Fafita. Who is McMillan at Arizona? Whoever that is, he's ranked as like
he's a wide receiver.
Okay, he's the 10th best player. Yeah, Fafita is the quarterback. And then Ewers is on the list. So, like, in terms of quarterbacks, you got Ewers, Beck, Milroe, and Shador. Those are the top four quarterbacks according to this ranking. That's gross.
And again, like, to Sam's point, I forgot all about Dylan Gabriel. I mean, he's been very productive wherever he's played. It'd be interesting to see what he does at Oregon, and he may be better than Shador. I don't know. I got to be careful and not. There may be some bias. I'm just kind of over the whole Deion aspect of it all, and maybe that's what I'm penalizing Shador for that. I don't know.
Well, I do think it's tough to grade Shador just because, I mean, that offensive line can't block.
Sure. Yeah.
That offensive line is terrible. Like, 3,200 yards last year, 27 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, He had some really good games. It's just it just seems crazy to me that he is the, you know, the number one pick right now. And like, when you're graded as the best quarterback, if you are the best quarterback, chances are you're going to be a top three draft pick. And I don't know if I get that when I watch him. But I acknowledge it's not fair, because a lot of these games he's running for his life every snap.
They're also passing the ball like 45 times a game. Exactly.
They are. You know, like, yeah, no, they are. And a lot of times he's having to do dump downs too and stuff. But like,
he's certainly capable. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But is he the top quarterback in the next year's class? I don't know. I don't know. He lives like a number one pick, though, driving a Lambo and has a maybe. He's got like three cars that are like, you know, in excess of $1 million.
Also, probably. That mock draft is completely irrelevant, because Deion Sanders will just override Shador to the Titans. He's got like a list of six cities that he will only allow his son to go play at.
Yeah, I saw him talking about that. You know, I don't think he's actually going to do that, right?
I wouldn't doubt it, though. I wouldn't put it past him.
Is he going to be a football coach / helicopter dad? Like, you got to kind of pick one, I think. It is kind of crazy. Like, we don't get this very often, right? I mean, like, throughout history, like, Bob, are there any other, like, son-dad combos in like, high-level college football? And, like, I use high-level of Colorado a little, you know, loosely, but, like, it's high-level in the sense of coverage, and it's high-level in the sense that we're talking about him being, like, the number one pick in the draft potentially next year.
Yeah, at the college level, I don't think I've seen anything like it in recent memory. The only thing I've seen that's got some correlation to it, but it's not the dad was a college coach or anything, was obviously the Mannings, and, you know, the influence Archie likely had on Peyton and Eli and what they were doing, and, you know, Eli's deal when he got drafted, all those things.
Don't forget LeVar Ball, if we're going to just go with his famous dads. But, like, yeah. I mean, McDermott, you know, your boy McDermott's Doug and Greg, I mean, like, he wasn't the number one pick, but that was high-level college basketball at the time. They were good that year.
True. That's a good one.
I know you had, like, R.J. Hunter and his dad at Georgia State, but that was just kind of a tournament run, and that wasn't, like, anything where we really paid attention to it all year. I don't know. It just seems kind of wild that, yeah, you're going to have a sitting Power 5 coach, like, openly be like, no, my son's not going there, and having to go, like, full dad, too. That's an interesting wrinkle. What I see when I look at this list is that it's not hard for my boy Nico to crack a top four, top five quarterbacks in the entire country next year. When you're telling me Quinn Ewers, who I don't think was very good last year after the Alabama game. That's something that I've seen the NFL draft scouts really talking about, is like, when they're looking at Texas' offense and trying to grade the wide receivers and stuff, it's like, huh, this Quinn Ewers fella, leaving a lot of meat on the bone. Not necessarily doing his wide receivers any favors. Like, they've come away kind of roasting Quinn Ewers. So when I see him, I see Jalen Milroe. Like, is it unreasonable to say that you expect Nico to be just as good, if not better, than Jalen Milroe next year? Because that's where I'm at.
I'm not sold on Milroe for sure going into that new offense.
I don't know how you could be.
Yeah.
In any offense, much less the new one. Like, I mean, if he was running back in Alabama's offense, I don't know how you'd be sold on him.
When I was looking at this top 100 list, I have to admit, and I recognize most of these guys have a body of work that's much more sound than Nico so far, having only played a game. But I was really hoping Nico may show up near the end of that 100. But, you know, this guy, Brockmeyer didn't buy into the hype. I think he could be on that list for sure, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think deep down, if the guy was trying to project for next year and wasn't having to, like, defend it and go body of work and actually try to, like, rank from what he's seen, like, I think it's completely reasonable to expect the number one quarterback prospect from 2 years prior in a quarterback-friendly offense. I know we saw an offense last year that did not look very quarterback-friendly, but I don't think it was because of the offense as much as it was the quarterback. But, like, to put a top-ranked guy in an offense that's set up for quarterback success and yards and points, like, it's not a far leap. It's not far-fetched to say that quarterback's a top 100 college football player. Like, it's not a far stretch to say that guy's going to be a top 20, top 15 college football player. I got no qualms with them not ranking him there, because you would just be having to project, and you're not really going off of any data, any proof, anything you've actually seen on a college football field other than a meaningless bowl game. But, like, I fully expect Nico to be one of the six best quarterbacks in the country next year.
24/7 Sports, they came out with an article ranking their top 25 quarterbacks. They've got him at 25 right now.
You got Nico at 25?
Mm-hmm.
Do they have an excerpt there? Do they have an explanation? Like, can you read that? Is it just going to be like, hey, we don't know?
No player inside the top 25 played fewer college snaps than Iamaleava.
Okay, check.
So all receipts are welcome if Tennessee's former five-star signee cannot deliver. He would be a dynamic passer in Josh Heupel's multi-read looks, and if Tennessee's wide receiver talent steps up, there's no reason Iamaleava can't become one of the nation's most accurate.
Wait, hold on. So that said, receipts, keep receipts in case he's not good. So, like, they're thinking people are going to come be like, wow, you had this guy ranked as the 25th best quarterback? Because I'm looking at the exact opposite. 247. I'm keeping receipts when he's like the top three quarterback, or like if he's invited to New York for the Heisman. Like, I'm keeping receipts the other side. I don't think anybody in the right mind would say you're overrating a guy by calling him the 25th best quarterback in the country. I don't think you have to worry about that. 247.
24 is Haynes King of Georgia Tech.
Give me a break.
Come on, man.
Give me a break. Really? I've seen enough of Haynes King to know he sucks.
Where do they have, just curious, where's Riley Leonard on that?
21.
Okay. The reason I say that is just, again, I'm referring
feels
to this.
Low to me too.
Yeah, it does feel low, but I'm referring to this top 100 list, and Leonard's the last quarterback on this list at 99. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I think Riley Leonard's a good quarterback. I just was thinking, okay, again, if you're pining for Nico to be on that top 100 list, how's he compare against Riley Leonard? It's all prohibitive right now, but I don't know.
Can you keep that list pulled up?
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about the quarterbacks where they have them ranked after the break. Can I dive into that a little bit more?
I got to give a little shout-out. It's not exactly on the parallel we were talking about, but my wife, paying attention to stuff, she wrote, what about, this is about the back to the coach and his son.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This is not a scenario, though, where it's the coach and his son, but it kind of fits the mold in a little bit. She goes, what about the guy with the red hair from a long time ago that kind of self-destructed? She's talking about Todd Marinovich and his dad.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, you mean like the problem? Okay.
Yeah.
That was before my time.
Yeah. But I mean, that was again, dad was not a coach, but dad was a helicopter dad for sure and kind of ruined him.
That's been some of the talk with Caleb Williams. You know, like if there are any red flags, it's like, hey, you want to stay away from his dad, kind of. Like that's kind of what that conversation has been. So what was the story there with him? Just the dad just basically led him to a nervous breakdown, a mental breakdown?
Yeah, put him on a regimen. This is back when I was living in L.A. too, so we heard a lot about it. And, put him on a regimen where, you know, as a kid – he was, you know, already, you know, like all the stuff we talk about today, like supplements and everything else. The kid would never, he would never let him get near French fries or, you know, even like at 6, 7 years old, he had him already, you know, vitamined up, working out just nonstop. He was grooming him to be a professional athlete when he was that young. And so then he just rebounded in a bad way once he got through college because he had a game, super talented. And even that translated to the NFL for a little while with the Raiders, but then he got into, it was like total revolt, you know, drugs, everything else. And I mean, just kind of
sugar.
Yeah. Sugar.
Fried foods.
Big Macs.
Yeah.
I'll show you. I'm going to have a dozen Big Macs this weekend, but no, I mean, he went even further into the bad stuff. So, I mean, the really bad stuff. So he basically, and now I think he's out there, you know, on the speaking circuit and everything. He's clean and everything else. But I mean, it's no secret. It feels like it was attributable to his dad, who I think was a former pro football player too, way back in the day.
Well, shout out to King Richard Williams for Serena and Venus along those. Because I mean, like a lot of what you said talking about him was kind of what they played in the movie, where like his whole plan was like, hey, I'm going to raise these girls to be professional athletes and raised some really good ones. Same as John Brown. Amon Ra, St. Brown, and
Equanimeous.
Yeah.
He's like a
bodybuilder, but like he had a similar thing where he was like, "Hey, I'm going to mold these kids and they're going to be professional athletes, and then I'm going to give them a cooler name because his last name's just Brown." He's like, "No, these guys are going to be St. Brown." because it's a cooler name. He just added the Saint in their name.
Yeah.
That's pretty badass.
Yeah, like during the whole LeVar Ball thing, like there was like some stories written about him. And I was like, I know everybody's paying attention to LeVar because he's loud, but like the actual crazy guy that's actually making this work is John Brown. And like, check a look at this guy and like what he's doing with his kids. And like all of them are playing like, you know, big D1 football. And like now two of them are in the NFL and one of them is a top three receiver. And yeah, he just like made up a last name for him. He's like, I'm John Brown. You're Saint Brown.
And I'd love
Equanimous.
To know.
What a name.
I know. If you introduce yourself, I'm Equanimous. It's that's like an adjective, you know, it's like, what does that
royal.
Mean? Yeah.
I think that's like he gave them all like royal names and like gave them the name Saint Brown to like make them stand out. Like
Amon-Ra, they say, is like the sun god or something. There's
right.
some equivalent to that.
Yeah. And he's also got the most normal name of the three, and his name's Amon-Ra. And like you got Equanimous and you got Osiris. Like, or I guess that's how you pronounce that. Osiris. I assume that's Osiris. Osiris. I don't know.
Amon-Ra Reed is your firstborn.
Saint Reed.
You know, it's got a flow to it. It's got a flow to it. The sun god. But, I mean, again, Amon-Ra lived up to the hype, so John Brown, he did it. So for every – was it
Marv Marinovich.
Marv Marinovich. Yeah, there's a John Brown. There's a Richard Williams. There you go. Maybe there is a way to make it work. LeVar Ball. You know, LaMelo's.
You ever seen
– LiAngelo. Poor LiAngelo.
Yeah.
You ever seen Kenan Thompson on SNL do LeVar Ball?
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. Never lost.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
Never lost. Yeah, I want to get into that top 25 quarterback rankings after the break. Stick with us.
A brand built in Tennessee. And
the segment's brought to you by Knoxville Smiles. Dr. Stephen Malone wants to help take care of you, his staff. They care. They will help you make the best decisions about your dental health. My mouth's kind of been bothering me. I think I need to go see Dr. Stephen Malone. Check in with him. Have him fix me up. They can do it all. Veneers, implants, restorative procedures, tooth removal. Contact Knoxville Smiles today at 865-539-1776. That's 865-539-1776 to set up an appointment. Take a virtual tour of their state-of-the-art West Knoxville facility at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. KnoxvilleSmiles.com. All right, you got the top 25 quarterbacks in the country as we look ahead to 2024. And who did this rank again, 247?
Yeah, 247.
I got a bone to pick with them.
Yeah.
Just so far. Whenever you tell me Nico's 25th, whenever you tell me that Shedeur Sanders is the fourth best player in college football, like those things just don't seem to add up to me. But let's go through their quarterbacks list. Number one quarterback in the country. Do they have Shedeur on there as that? Do they have a little synergy lining up with their rankings or no?
He is number two.
So they can't even get on the same page at 247. One guy's got him as the best, another guy's got him as the second best. Who's the first best?
Carson Beck.
Is Carson Beck the best quarterback in the country?
He happens to play quarterback on the best team in the country.
Now, that is 100% accurate. He does play quarterback on the best team in the country. Like, yes. Yes, he does. But is he the best quarterback in the country?
No.
He was better last year than I thought he was going to be. I think that's fair to say. Like, I think we looked and said, hey, if that team's going to lose, it's because Carson Beck's not good enough. There's going to be some drop-off from, you know, what Stetson Bennett actually gave them versus what he can do. And I remember talking like, hey, he's not really going to have to go on the road before he comes to Knoxville. There's a chance to clip him. There's a chance to overwhelm him. And he was pretty nails for most of the year. Was he the best quarterback in the country? I really hope the Titans aren't needing a quarterback next year. that's one of the things I've taken away. Like, give Will Levis two more years at the very least. Like, if it doesn't work out and we have to tank the year after that and go and get Nico, you know, that I'll be okay with. Like, give Will Levis this year, give him a year after that, and then, yeah, like, if it's not good, let's just be really bad and get Nico.
I'm trying to remember with Beck, was it the – SEC championship game. There was one game that was a big game for Georgia last season where Beck looked spectacular, but they lost that game to Alabama. So I'm trying to remember if it was that or if it was, you know, might have been another one of their regular season games. But there were a couple moments where Beck really impressed the hell out of me, but it does feel a little lofty to have him as the number one quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what game you're talking about. His numbers against Alabama, they weren't great. I mean, I know that doesn't tell the whole story, but 21 of 29, 243 yards, no touchdowns. I don't feel like that's the one you're talking about. I remember him beating the hell out of Kentucky. Like, that was one where it was, like, really jaw-dropping. And I know it's Kentucky, but, like, he came out and just absolutely dominated that game. 28 of 35, 389 yards, four touchdowns. I thought he was awesome in that one. But, okay, so he's the best quarterback in the country. Shador's number two. Is Ewers three?
Yeah, yeah. Quinn Ewers comes in at three.
Okay, so, like, I guess those are kind of the consensus top three. Seems like every publication is going to kind of have those guys as your top three, which feels kind of gross. It feels like the mantle is wide open. It feels like the title of best quarterback of the country in college football feels pretty attainable. Feels pretty attainable, or at least to like get in the mix of being the second or third best. Because like you said, Beck, the fact he's already here and he's coaching or he's quarterbacking the best team in the country, I can't imagine he struggles too often with all that talent. All right, who else rounds out the top five?
Coming in at number four, we've got Jackson Dart of Ole Miss. And at number five, Noah Fifita from Arizona.
I like Dart. Is he a byproduct of just, again, you know, a really strong offensive scheme with Kiffin? I don't know. But he had great numbers last year, and I didn't see enough of Fifita. He looks, obviously his stats are great, but I just didn't see enough of him.
I love Fifita. I think he's easily a top five quarterback this year. I think he'll probably rise up that list after this season.
Is Arizona going to be good enough?
That's my question too. I mean, he's got what his stud receiver stayed too, so
yeah,
that helps.
McMillan kid is nasty.
Yeah,
yeah, he's a top 15 player on that list we just talked about. Anybody in the SEC, I don't want to run through the whole top 25, but like any other things that just really stand out to either one of you on this list? The top five, okay, I got no huge qualms with it as much as I just have questions about the rest of the country. Like, man, we just don't have any quarterbacks.
Jalen Milroe's at eight on this list.
Okay.
The fact that Drew Aller is ahead of Jalen Milroe makes me laugh. I mean, Drew Aller's number seven. And again, we think there might be regression with Milroe in the new offense at Alabama, but I think Aller's just beyond overrated at this point.
Former Vol, Caden Salter at number 11.
Didn't you just tell me that Penn State's best receiver was transferring because Drew Aller sucked so bad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You said Caden Salter's where, number 11?
Number 11.
Huh?
Yeah.
35-year-old Cam Rising, number 10.
Uh-huh.
That's tough. I like watching Cam Rising play.
Still rehabbing from the ACL.
Yeah, he's tough.
Will Howard, Ohio State at 13.
Okay.
A lot of hype about him coming in. Felt like he would be higher than 13 based on the hype that he got when he was committing there.
I saw a stat yesterday, and I don't know if it's true, but it was from, you know, a real publication that said Ohio State has spent $34 million, apparently, on their roster.
My goodness.
Like, both coordinators are making $2 million a year. Ryan Day's probably making, you know, $7, $8, $9 million a year. And then, you know, just all the players they've brought in. I guess losing couple in a row to Michigan will do that to them. Your biggest rival winning a national championship will lead you to go crazy, which, you know, I wish it would have done the same to Tennessee, you know, back in the day when Alabama started winning. It seems to have really struck a nerve with Ohio State, and they're like desperate to get back. But yeah, $34 million is the number I saw there.
Sam, I was looking at this list, and Brady Cook 16. Do you think think about that. Do you think Brady Cook's undersold there a little? I'm a Brady Cook fan, actually. I was impressed with him last season.
No, I thought he was pretty solid last year.
Based on some of the names in there, too, I'd say he's a top 16.
Yeah, I mean, behind, to me, he's better than Drew Aller. I mean,
yeah, and he's behind Connor in conference, Connor Wegman at A&M.
Is Caden Salter actually good? Because, like, I don't ever watch their games, but I'll look at the box score, and, like, his passing numbers are always pretty bad, but then his rushing numbers will have like 100 yards rushing. I'm like, okay, I guess. But he's all
kind of feels like a Walmart Kyler Murray a little bit to me.
Okay. Like, Kyler Murray is worse, though, in the NFL. Like, sure. Not Kyler Murray in college. Kyler Murray in college obviously was a beast. Like,
that's why I said Walmart version.
Yeah. But, like, of the bad, hey, he's playing too much video games. Like, he's that Walmart version as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. What are you doing? We're not playing Madden. We're playing college football here.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so Nico comes in at 25th. Bob, where does he have to be at the end of the year on this list? And I know the list probably doesn't actually get ran back, but work with me here. How high does he have to be in terms of best quarterbacks in the country next year for you to be satisfied?
Top 10, top 11, right in that range, I would say.
Sam?
Yeah, top 10.
So who's around 10? I know you said Salter's 11.
Sorry, I just...
No, I know.
Jalen Daniels, Cam Rising.
Yeah.
He needs to be
Cam Ward in Miami.
He needs to be better than Cam Rising for me to be happy. Like, I feel like you got to go a little bit higher.
I'll say 8. Drew Aller's not at number 7 on here. I think, like, if he starts slotting in, like, behind Dylan Gabriel and Fifita and those guys, I think that's pretty solid.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Like, if you tell me he's as good as... Just right behind Dylan Gabriel, I'd maybe be a little disappointed. Just when you're combining, like, just the stats and everything. Like, Tennessee's offense, I think, should really, like, prop Nico up where we're talking about him even maybe a little bit higher. But I would be content with that if you told me he was the 8th best quarterback in the country. I'd be
Oregon's
content.
Got weapon this year, too. You know, they got that Evan Stewart kid from A&M.
Yeah.
You think he could rank higher than Milroe when it's all said and done?
I'd be disappointed if he didn't.
Yeah. Okay.
So, like, yeah, like, some of those names ahead of him, like, I'd be disappointed if he wasn't better than Milroe, but, like, I'm leaving some room for somebody behind those guys to move up to. Like, if it's just head-to-head, though, like, yeah, do you not expect him to be better than Milroe?
Statistically, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no
doubt. Well, I just mean, but statistics aside, like, I think Milroe's statistics look better than his actual game a lot of the times.
As, like, a pure passer, Nico should be in the top 5, I think.
Yeah, like, but I mean,
he's got those intangibles.
But see, if you tell me that, like, I think he can run too. Like, if you tell me he's just a pure passer, be top 5. Like, I think as a runner, he should be,
sure,
you know, maybe not top 5 running quarterbacks, but he should be good enough to where that's like an asset, not something that holds him back. So if he's a top 5 pocket passer, then he should be a top 5 quarterback. Because, like, the guys ahead of him, like, Quinn Ewers doesn't run. I know Shadur's athletic, but I don't feel like Shadur ever runs really either. He's just running for his life back there. Like, right. He probably can run, but I don't think they don't really use that part of his game, I don't feel like, in Colorado.
Think he can perform ahead of Jackson Dart?
I don't know. You know, I haven't been overly impressed with Dart. It felt like Ole Miss won a bunch of ugly games last year. But, like, Dart's – I don't want to act like not any good.
Yeah.
And like you said, Kiffin – good offensive coach, yeah, helps him out there, but
right.
I feel like we should be talking about Nico being better than him too at the, you know, as the season progresses. Like, that's where my expectations are. So, like, you guys said top 10, top 8. I'm more of like, I want him to be like kind of top 5 there, at least, like, where there's an argument.
Well, I'll tell you what, I think it's possible, and if that happens, then my goodness, going into the next season, then he's got to be, like, top of the, you know, Heisman conversation and other things like that, too.
Well, I expect that, too. Like, I expect Tennessee to have a top 5 pick in, like, 2 years in a row in the draft is, like, where I'm at right now. Like, James Pierce should be a top 5 pick, assuming he stays healthy. And then, like, I think Nico should be there the year after as one of the first quarterbacks taken. Like, those are my expectations right now. When you have his size and you have his pedigree and he's already kind of going to be on the radar, he's got everything you need. If Josh Heupel doesn't coach him up to that level, that feels like a failure almost. So I'll say, like, he needs to have an argument for being a top 5 quarterback this year for me to be happy. Hour 2 in the books. We'll kick off hour 3 with some overrated, underrated. We'll talk some NBA playoffs. Stick with us. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio.
Looking for a luxury